Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is 16 years after the day that changed America, changed the world, 16 years later, September 11th, 2017. Our hearts, our prayers go out to the victims of 9/11, the attacks in D.C., in New York, and in Shanksville. The first responders who were murdered, the people who were murdered on that day. We pray for them. You know how things have changed since September 11th, 2001. How things have changed, and not for the better either. And of course, 2001 September 11th was one of those hinge moments in history, and I'm amazed when I think back how many people of adult age right now, young adults, don't recall that day or were young when that happened. But really, that was a hinge moment in history, a pivot point in history, that in large part puts us where we're at today. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, Doug and Joe Hagmann, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank Global Star for having us, running our program, as well as Blog Talk Radio, that's BTR, and, of course, YouTube Live. And we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be connecting some dots. The first segment, the first hour of our program, a gentleman, and we want to thank Jennifer Ramsey for helping us put this together. Field McConnell, Able Danger. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of Able Danger and of the YouTube channel of the same name. Hour number two, we're going to have RCMP Sergeant Tom Juby. Now, there's some interesting correlation between the reason we asked him to appear tonight, because he was the key investigator in Swiss Air 111, which predated, of course, the events of 9/11, but there's interesting correlation between that incident and 9/11. And then that's going to be going into hour three as well, three segments with Sergeant Tom Juby, which is going to be a must. You've got to listen to this and watch this program in its entirety to understand the web of deceit, the web of lies, the web of the shadow government, and in this case, its subset, the deep state, the military-industrial congressional complex. This how it all works together. And then to close out the final segment, Josh Kaplan. And if you, in the event that you haven't gone to the Gateway Pundit yet today, do so. Josh Kaplan's got the Above the Fold, a story there at Gateway Pundit, thegatewaypundit.com. So that's the program layout for tonight. Again, our prayers, our thoughts to the families of the victims of 9/11/2001, but understand it to be the hinge moment in the history, the pivot day, the pivot event that has put us on the track where we are today in many respects. Now, without getting into the, obviously we're not going to get into the various theories, suffice it to say, and I was talking with a couple of people, Joe, you'd appreciate this. I was talking with, well, I'll just say this. I was talking with someone today, and, I got an eye roll, when I mentioned 9/11. And, you know, did it happen the way they said it happened? And of course, I got an eye roll, and I thought, wow. You know, the number of people who really don't understand the deception and the level of deception, I think is just incredible even today, despite the fact that, well, It's clear, I believe, that it didn't happen, obviously, the way they said it happened. And you'd have to be intellectually dishonest to believe otherwise. Joe, come on board here. Let's start off the week and let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah, again, it is the 16-year to the day anniversary of 9/11. It's pretty much a routine and a ritual now, if you will, to turn on the news in the morning on 9/11 and see the family members reading the names of those who were lost in the attacks. And that's always tough to watch. But yeah, I mean, people will never forget that day, and you can never forget to revisit what happened on that day. It's very important to what we see happening today in present day all across the world, from the Arab Spring to, I mean, just all the things that have happened because of 9/11. For whatever reason, 9/11 happened, it had a huge impact on not only the U.S. but the world.
No, it did. And it did. And I do hope one day, I really hope one day, all of this will come out before I die, before too many more months, years pass, everything will come out, or at least, you know, it's interesting because Judicial Watch had, there was an article recently where the Saudi training, operational training, the dry run, I don't know if you saw that, Saudi Arabia providing operational assets and money for a dry run for 9/11. Whether or not you believe that there was total Islamic, I mean, if you want to lay the blame totally on Islamic terrorists, that's one thing. But I can tell you this, I can guarantee it, there was Islamic complicity here and Islamic perpetrators, as well as members of the deep state and shadow government combined. But to say that this is a conspiracy and there was no Islamic involvement, I think would be equally disingenuous to the to the real story. But nonetheless, our first guest is Field McConnell, and I can't wait to speak with him. I believe he might be, and I could be wrong about this. Okay, he might be checking in from London, UK, where it's late or early, depending on your point of view. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of Able Danger and the YouTube channel of the same name. It was on December 10th, 2006, when Field McConnell reported the illegal modification on Boeing aircraft to the FAA. Northwest Airlines, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, NORAD, the USNA superintendent. Shortly thereafter, Northwest Airlines, compelled by the United States Department of Justice, silenced Field McConnell due to his inadvertent reopening of a safety issue closed in June of that year. There's a settlement of $650 million paid by Boeing to the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, Field McConnell filed a civil case at the District Court, District of North Dakota, on the 27th of February in 2007. The case is titled, and you can look this up, Field McConnell v. ALPA, A-L-P-A, and Boeing. Boeing admitted on March 3rd, 2007, the existence of the Boeing Uninterruptible Autopilot. To date, 9 February 2012, as of that point, Airline Pilots Association has suppressed this information. Field McConnell retired on March 13, 2007 to preserve his expert witness value in U.S. district courts, and to say value, this man has value, believe me. Expert witness value, indeed. Civil case, Hawks Cafe v. Global Guardians was filed May 1st, 2007 in District Court, District of North Dakota. So, this man knows that of which he speaks, and we want to give him a warm welcome and embrace to the Hagmann Report. Mr. McConnell, thank you so much for joining us on this momentous day.
Yes, it is a momentous day, and it's a sad day, and what makes it even more sad is that our federal elected officials are serving powers other than the constituents, and they've sat on this deception for 16 years. But early on in your very kind introduction, you said, will it come out, meaning the truth, and yes, it will. You made an allusion to illegal modifications, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that what makes these modifications illegal is only that the airline pilots, mechanics, and dispatchers were never aware of the equipment that was in their aircraft. So I hope my volume's okay, and you certainly sound good at London, where it's early in the morning, and about 10 minutes ago it was late at night, but it's just past midnight. So what can I do to make your show more comfortable for you, Paul?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your gracious gift of time, because I know it's early or late, and I know that this, you know, is an inconvenience for you, but a delight for our audience. Well, let's start at the beginning. Well, let's talk about 9/11 and how your work has overlapped into the events of 9/11, or vice versa, the relationship there, or how what you've discovered in the crux of your, or the main part of your lawsuits, it could in fact be part of something much larger, and help me understand, because I was looking into what you were referencing here, this uninterrupted flight control.
Autopilot, yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah.
Same difference.
What exactly, help us understand, and our audience understand what that is and why it's so significant in your work in that respect.
Okay, well, that'll be the easiest question you ask me all night. The Boeing uninterruptible autopilot. And I would like your listeners to just make a note to go to YouTube after the show and just put in Boeing uninterruptible autopilot. It's a 5-minute and 40-second whistleblowing report on what this autopilot is. But it started out as a very good, benign safety feature, because back in the 60s, 70s, when armed hijackers with weapons were getting into cockpits and demanding that pilots fly somewhere they didn't want to go. All the while, the military industrial complex, specifically Honeywell, was working, and there's going to be people rolling their eyeballs during your show tonight, and those people tend to be trolls, but there's people that still don't want to believe that the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot exists. I can provide you later after the show, or anybody that wants it, with patent history of Honeywell going back to 1953 to as late as 2013. We do have all the patents, and the device that's now called the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot was meant to be a safety feature, so that if physical human hijackers tried to get in the cockpit, that there would be remote control capability of the airliner. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm sorry. I hit the cough button too late. Sorry about that.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Well, no, never feel, I mean, always feel comfortable. It's your show. Interrupt me anytime. But the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot is a safety feature, but after 9/11, when the uninterruptible autopilot was used as a lethal weapon against we the people, not only we the people of the United States, but the global commoners, this is a very good system, and it's only illegal because to this date, the airline pilots in the United States of America and most of the world have not been told about the existence of this pilot, this autopilot. And that renders the installation illegal, because if you are the captain of an airliner registered in the United States of America, Federal Aviation Regulation 121.533 states that if you have any concerns with the airworthiness of the aircraft, that you do not put that aircraft into motion. And what or the word may be operation, but what that means is, it's not just you can't fly it, if you have any concerns with the safety of the aircraft that you're in command of, you cannot even call for the before start checklist. And that's the position I found myself in when in late 2006, Northwest Airlines wanted me to fly Boeing 747-400s at the same time that my academic partner, David Hawkins, a brilliant scholar from England who now lives in Canada, he was discovering the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot. So between his brilliance and my hands-on, being an airline pilot and a former military air defense pilot, I knew that this was illegal, and I raised the alarm, as you alluded to earlier. I raised it with three federal lawsuits. Boeing answered my question very responsibly. Within 4 days of my filing the first lawsuit, Boeing admitted the existence of the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot. But yet here we are in 2017, and it's still illegal because the airlines do not tell the pilots, the dispatchers, or the maintenance personnel that this Boeing uninterruptible autopilot is installed in the aircraft. And it's really, really deceptive because you hear me say over and over, Boeing uninterruptible autopilot, but it's a component that comes in a box from General Electric. And when I was called to Malaysia to explain this face-to-face with the Malaysian government and airline, I was told that they intended to file a $1 trillion lawsuit against Boeing. And I said, well, I got bad news for you. I'll be on the opposite side of the courtroom because even though it's the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot, it's a GE part. And I know for certain that at the highest level of the maintenance installers there at Boeing, they didn't know what they were putting in. They were told to put this General Electric part in a specific location, and they did their job. And so they've been taken advantage of. And it's interesting to note that the soon-to-be outgoing CEO of General Electric, whose name is Jeffrey Immelt, he happens to have had the highest corporate paid life insurance in the corporate world of the United States of America for a long, long time. And it just may be because all of these illegal airliners flying around killing people over the last 16 years have been propelled or controlled by a GE part. That's the short answer.
Okay. And just so I'm sure I understand you, this is a component in the aircraft that the flight crew, the pilot, they have no idea or had no idea that it's on their aircraft. And the use of this, or ostensible use of this, would be for someone on the ground to be able to take control of the aircraft. Is that right?
Yes, and to fly it safely to what initially were 108 airports around the world that were capable of receiving these remotely guided airliners. Now it's pretty much any airport that's served by airliners of that type. For instance, if a 787 goes to that airport, it could be safely remotely landed there. And the Boeing uninterruptible autopilot is not to be a scary thing. It's to be a life-saving feature. But the problem is they've used it for a criminal intent.
Right.
It's called murder for hire, and it's premeditated. And you asked me how I was related to 9/11. Well, I've got three relationships, and I'll make this very brief. My sister and Hillary Clinton participated in the academic development of the droning of airliners. I'll leave it at that because that's sufficient detail, and you got the names. My sister's name, by the way, is Christine Marcy, and Hillary Clinton, most of your listeners know. My second relationship was American 77, which allegedly, according to the mainstream media, hit the Pentagon, which it did not. The captain of that flight was a college classmate of mine from Annapolis, whose name is Captain Chick Burlingame. He had a dual career just like I did. He flew for the Navy in the reserves while he flew for American. And on the morning of 9/11, he was murdered with a malice aforethought by the perpetrators, who, as you correctly identified, had some Muslim influence and also some deep state, United States government influence. So I've got my sister, my college classmate, and on the morning of 9/11 at 0932, three F-16s took off from Langley Air Force Base to respond to what was flying down the Potomac and threatening the Pentagon. And those three F-16s were from my Air National Guard unit, Fargo, North Dakota. And just to demonstrate to you and your listeners my ability to recall trivial details, the call sign of those three F-16s was QUIT, Q-U-I-T, QUIT 252627, flown by Brad Derig, Dean Ekman, and Craig Borgstrom. And those three F-16s were capable of intercepting the target before it hit the Pentagon, but they were taken off course by members of the United States Senior Executive Service, a bureaucracy which 99.5% of your listeners have never heard of until this radio show. So thanks for getting me on here so I can point out that there's a bureaucracy none of us know about, the United States Senior Executive Service, and on 9/11 they played a big part.
All right. Wow. The United States Senior Executive Service, is that what you said? Senior?
Yes. My sister created that back when Jimmy Carter was president in 1978. He asked my sister, Christine Marcy, who is a career bureaucrat, to come up with the Senior Executive Service. They came into existence in 1979. And if you want to get a layman's briefing on what they're all about, it's treason. They're in position to destroy the United States of America, and they're inside Washington, D.C. And I'm not somebody that read this in a men's room. It's my own sister that created it. And my own sister, Christine Marcy, does not get a free pass from me because my parents are in Arlington National Cemetery, both my mom and my dad, and I spent 26 years in the military. And she is actively engaged and has been since 1969 in attempting to destroy the United States of America, and she's just going to have to do that over my dead body, and I'm not dead yet.
Man, my head is spinning. I have to tell you, all I want to do is just say, keep talking.
I know, and this is funny. This is really funny because I told my wife, who's a British lady, she's 4 feet from me right now, I said, they want me to talk about these eight things in 1 hour? I said I could talk 12 hours on any one of these eight, but let's make it quick for the first visit. And
sure.
Any questions you have, go ahead.
Well, I got a question, Mr. McConnell, just real quick, just to clarify. So what you're saying is these parts, GE parts, delivered to all these different areas to be placed inside of Boeing planes. And from what I'm understanding, these are parts, as you said, for malicious intent.
Well, no. I don't think that's what he said. I think there was not the correct.
Or
they
were
wrong.
Used maliciously.
They were used maliciously, but there is some ostensibly the initial intent was for good purposes. However, the intent was hijacked, like everything else, by deep state operatives and others. Right.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
All right.
And the name says it all. The Boeing Honeywell uninterruptible autopilot. I'm assuming that once this is activated, even the pilots in the plane can't turn it off until it runs its course? Is that semi-accurate?
Yeah, nobody in the aircraft. It's uninterruptible, and that's exactly what it means. Once it's triggered, several things happen. The communication radios go off, the ACARS goes off, the transponder goes off. The aircraft is going to be quiet and silent, and it'll be landed safely anywhere the people controlling it direct it to go. And the good people that control it would be the FAA, or the airlines. Let's pick Delta Airlines because that's where my retirement check comes from. But if Delta has a flight that is being interrupted by humans, they can land it anywhere they want. And, you know, maybe not Atlanta because they're having a hurricane today, but they could take it up to Fargo or take it to New York City, fly it over to Dallas, and it can be landed safely. But see, the thing that makes it illegal is that the airlines themselves are not sharing this information with the people who critically need it, and that would be the pilots in command, because if you're the pilot in command legally and yet you're not in command physically, you got a big problem. The mechanics, they don't know about it, and the dispatchers, by the way, share responsibility for any flight in the United States of America 50-50 with the captain, and I'm here to tell you that there's occasions where the captain and the dispatcher don't see eye to eye, but only one of those two has their gluteus maximus in the aircraft, and it's not the dispatcher. So I don't want to scare anyone, because I think by your having the nerve to broadcast this, it's just a matter of time. Boeing has already announced that they have this. They announced it on the 3rd of March of 2007, and in that announcement, they said within 2 years, every airliner in the world will have this feature. That would be 2009. So for the last 8 years, every fly-by-wire glass cockpit airliner in the world has had this uninterruptible autopilot, not only the Boeings, but the Sukhois, which is Russian, the Bombardier, that's Canadian, the Embraers, that's Brazilian, and the original installer, Airbus. Airbus started installing these in 1989, Boeing in 1995. But any student of second grade math knows that both 1989 and 1995 were prior to 9/11. So this is the feature which allowed 9/11 to almost top off, T-O-P-O-F-F, top off the government. And the only reason why we didn't go down as a nation on 9/11 is because United 93 was 41 minutes late when Captain Jason Dahl got his aircraft up in the air. And by this time, the response to New York and the Pentagon had been such that they were too late to achieve their purpose, which was striking the U.S. Capitol, where the elected government, the Congress and the Senate, were both in the Capitol Rotunda that morning. And if the fourth aircraft, and it would not have been United 93, but it would have been a drone replacement for United 93. But because they were 41 minutes late, they had to send a drone elsewhere, and they had to destroy United 93 over Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Our guest is Field McConnell. His website, abledanger.org. I'm correct in that, am I not? Abledanger.org.
Yes, you are.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure this information is critical here on the 16th. Hate to use the word anniversary, the 16th year, 16 years after 9/11 of 2001. I have a lot of respect for Mr. McConnell, by the way. I love his website, a lot of information there, and he is kind enough to check in with us from London, UK, where it's just after midnight there with his wife at his side, who is obviously a trooper as well. I guess, Mr. McConnell, you and we all married up in our lives, so, you know, but nonetheless, getting back to the topic, and by the way, folks, we are going to forego the network break to give Mr. McConnell the opportunity, the full segment here, because this is fascinating. So, I'm tossing everything that we have out, that I have, the talking points and such out. I'm going to toss those away. And I'm just going to ask you this. What in the world happened then, on 9/11? What happened 16 years ago this morning, Mr. McConnell? Based on your research, your analysis, and your knowledge of the SES and the hardware, as well as the, you know, people and such, what happened? And be as free as you want with don't hold anything back.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, because there is something that's typically held back, and I'm not going to mention it because I don't think it really matters. But I also, since you said I can go ahead and be free and not hold anything back, first and foremost, I got to tell you the only reason I'm doing this is because on December 4th, a Monday of 2006, at 3:35 p.m., I said a prayer to God, and I said, God, you know, you must have something more important for me to do than fly 403 passengers to Honolulu so they can lay on the beach. And I said, I will never, ever ask you this again, but if you have something more important for me to do, for your purpose in my life, but for your kingdom, please let me know, and I'll do it no matter what it may cost me. 2 hours and 25 minutes later, I was told to expose evil, and that's Ephesians 5:11. Have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So that's all I do. And if I fall short of what God asked me, I'm terribly sorry. But let's go right into 9/11. What it was about? It was a top-off exercise that went rogue. What does top-off mean? T-O-P-O-F-F. Cut the head off the United States elected government. And had that succeeded on 9/11, and you're going to hear my sister's name often because she's been so well buried and protected. But she was a key player on 9/11. Her name's Christine Marcy. To this day, she's protected by the U.S. deep state government. I have put her name out there very clearly. The President Trump, the three Marine generals, those being General Dunford, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, and General John Kelly, who is the Chief of Staff for Trump. They have not yet gone after my sister, but I have no doubt that they're going to have to do that at some point, or we're going to lose our country. But back to 9/11, the purpose was there was at least four nations or four entities working together to destroy the United States of America with the full support of some names you will recognize, like David Rockefeller, who on page 161 of his own book about 20 years ago said, if the charge against me is that I'm trying to destroy the United States of America, I'll stand by that charge, and it's, you know, I'm proud to do it. Well, he's dead, and a lot of these other people, and what they're involved in, it's not political conspiratorial things. It is evil. We are living the Battle of Ephesians, good versus evil, and some of the evil parties do include the Saudi Arabian government. It's a little question in my mind who these Saudis really are. Are they Muslims? Are they Khazars? Are they a blend? But they do work with other malevolent entities, one being that, now, if there's any Catholics out there, don't be offended till I'm done. But the Jesuit branch of the Vatican, that's not a spiritual branch. That's a military intelligence branch. And the Jesuits were involved in 9/11. I hope that you two gentlemen in Pennsylvania are familiar with the term crown agents. You may not be, but going back a couple hundred years, yes. You are? Good.
Well,
because so many
people. And I just want to say Paul Williams discusses this in his book, Among the Ruins, as others have before you, but please continue, sir.
Yes. If you had a gun to my head and said, Field, you got to tell us who did 9/11, and if you're accurate, you live, and if you're inaccurate, you die. And that's pretty much the same offer that God gave me. He's given me eternal life if I serve him. And so I'm going to. I'm going to serve him until he calls me home. But the Saudis did have a pretty tight relationship with some of our political families in the United States of America. The Vatican, everyone would like to think that the Vatican wants to save the world, and that's simply not the case. The Jesuits of the Vatican want to destroy the world, and for those of you on the East Coast, one of the most prestigious universities on the East Coast, Georgetown University, is the conduit through which the Vatican Jesuits pump their poison into the United States of America, and my sister is a graduate of Georgetown, as are Bill and Hillary Clinton and some other people that have tried to destroy the United States. But I said there were four. You've got the Saudis, the Jesuits, the Crown Agents, and the Senior Executive Service. And I strongly encourage your listeners just to go to a search engine, put in United States Senior Executive Service, and before I draw my final breath, I want that bureaucracy to be removed or to be accurately named. They should be named Treason Incorporated, because they were created by my sister at the request of Jimmy Carter, who, like myself, went to Annapolis. And I'm here to tell you, sadly, that some of the most senior military officers that have come out of Annapolis and West Point and the Air Force Academy have been working with foreign entities to destroy the United States of America. And I'm very good at naming names, and you did tell me to be free. But just to keep this on an emotional level that every American can resonate with, there was an NFL player named Pat Tillman who was assassinated by his own country on August 6th. No, that's not right. August 4th of 2006. That's not right either. Anyway, it was in 2004 that Pat Tillman was assassinated. And the reason they assassinated him was because he was going to blow the whistle on why we've always been in Afghanistan. And that's simply working with the UK. The U.S. has been netting $800 billion a year in heroin. And they send the heroin to the eastern part of the U.S., the eastern part of Europe, to Russia. They want to destroy the fabric of these nations. And of course, if you destroy the fabric of the nation and you destroy the families which make up the fabric of the nation, you destroy nation states. And that is the bottom line. It's the New World Order. Call it anything you want. But Catholicism simply means United Church, which means one world church. They want one world government. They're not even very candid about that. They admit that's what they wanted, and thank God literally, and that's not a figure of speech with me, I'm thanking God literally, that on the morning of 9/11, a 41-minute delay was imputed, that's a key verb, imputed, on the departure of Captain Jason Dahl's Flight 93, and that's the only reason why we're somewhat free today, and we're nowhere near as free as we should be. These post 9/11 handcuffs put on us by DHS and some other, the Patriot Act, they're not anything like what they're supposed to be. Just like the Boeing non-interruptible autopilot, it's supposed to be a safety feature, but it's now a feature where private corporations like Serco, the biggest company your listeners have never heard of, they can take down, well, they've taken down 15 airplanes after 9/11. And we probably will not get to too many of those tonight, but I'll rattle some flights off. They're very, very significant. Prior to 9/11, they took down TWA 800. On 9/11, they took down the four flights, those being American 11, American 77, United 93, and United 175. After 9/11, they took down a bunch of flights, but the most memorable ones are Air France 447 on June 1st of 2009, MH370 on March 8th of 2014, MH17 on the 17th of July of 2014, and by the way, I predicted that in writing on March 29th, and does that mean I'm bragging? Yeah, I am. I'm bragging about God. God put me in a position where I felt it very reasonable that the Malaysian airline was going to suffer another loss if they didn't publish the information that I hand-delivered to them on April 17, 18, 19, and 20 of 2014. I went down to Kuala Lumpur, and I explained this to them, but now here I am on your show explaining it to you. 9/11 was an attempt to destroy the United States once and for all. We had become too powerful to serve the globalists, and even though our whole government structure to this day, to this very day, we are constrained by powerful families like the Rockefellers. And by the way, if your listeners don't know this, Bill Clinton's a Rockefeller. His
absolutely. Yep.
Well,
thank
you. I'm in good company here. I can see that. So thank you. Yeah, but the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds in Europe, they think they own the world. I got some really bad news for them. The creator of this world owns the world, and just this week, we're seeing these man-made hurricanes get moved, adjusted, weakened, and I know that there's people out there praying that God will demonstrate his infinite power in adjusting these storms so that they do not accomplish the purpose for which the evil parties intended. And those evil parties, I mean, there's so few of them. And you told me I could let her rip, so here goes. In my mind, I've written a bunch of books, and I think one of the most evil entities in the United States of America is George H.W. Bush. And I'm ashamed to say that I voted for him and his son twice, but I voted for them of being ignorant and naive. But when in 2006, when I discovered that I was going to be flying an airplane that I could not legally fly, and I'm not a mamby-pamby, and I've got proof that you can see some YouTubes of me doing some flying that you really would have to be a maniac or blessed by God to be able to do, and I'm not a maniac, but that's the card they try to play. When you're a whistleblowing pilot and I'll rattle some names off. Wayno Witter from Delta, he was a whistleblower. Newton Dixon from Continental was a whistleblower. John Stepetich from Continental was a whistleblower. Dan Hanley from United was a whistleblower. There is a Spirit Airline pilot named Michael Driscoll who was a whistleblower. And what they do to all these people and what they tried to do to me, if they can't get you to be quiet, they send you to a shrink. And it's always the same shrink who just retired, strangely enough, August 1st. His name was Edward Elliott of Los Angeles. He was aided by a couple of other alpha doctors, MDs, not shrinks. But those, I was going to say gentlemen, but they're not gentlemen, they're cowards. Warren Silberman was an MD who would try to stick his nose in the business of any whistleblowing pilot like myself. Another one is Michael Berry. They both lost their positions. Edward Elliott, as I mentioned, retired. The safety of the traveling public of the world should not be in the hands of doctors that are bought and paid for, who are complicit with political entities that cover up the doctor's crimes. I'll just rattle off a couple of people. Carl Levin of Michigan, Chuck Schumer of New York, John McCain of Arizona, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. I could go on, and I've written, or myself and David Hawkins have written 150,000 pages of cross-reference material. We put out 14 books. We've probably got 1,000 YouTubes. Now, why is our message not getting out? Well, that's the easiest question I can ever pose for myself, because the mainstream media is owned by about four families, and the United States government does not serve the United States. I want to inject some enthusiasm or some, I mean, this sounds pretty negative, but I'm very optimistic, and I think under Donald Trump, if we can keep him in office a bit longer, and when I say that, I'm not talking about an impending death. I don't think he's in office to serve 4 or 8 years. I think he's in office to help the three Marine generals and a bunch of white hats in the military save our republic, restore our rule of law, make the United States of America the beacon on the hill that was meant to be by God and has been denied to be that status by people such as the Rockefeller, the Rothschild, the Clintons, the McCains, the Bushes, the Obamas. And I've got some close relationships here to two of those families. John McCain went to the Naval Academy, and he's a third-generation traitor. His grandfather was in the class of 1906 at Annapolis, and he violated a direct order which caused the greatest naval defeat in the history of the United States Navy. It occurred at Savo Island, S-A-V-O Island, on the 9th of August of 1942. None of your listeners have heard that. I doubt if they have. His father, John McCain number two, was a 1931 graduate of Annapolis. And what he is famous for in terms of treason was he's the man that covered up LBJ's treason in the USS Liberty. When the USS Liberty was attacked on the 8th of June of 1967, it was attacked with the full blessings of LBJ, who wanted to get a second theater of war going because his buddies in the military-industrial complex in Texas, those being the men that ran Colt firearms, think M16, LTV aircraft, think A7, and Bell helicopters, think Huey, all of LBJ's drinking buddies in Texas made a lot of money as long as we were at war, and one war wasn't enough for LBJ. He wanted one in Egypt. And so when Israel painted some of their Mirage fighters up in Egyptian paint and attacked the USS Liberty on the 8th of June of 67, I would give you a verbatim quote of what LBJ said, but it's offensive to Christians and other people. He said, "I want that GB boat on the bottom of the sea." And to make sure that happened, he had his Israeli counterparts attack the boat, not only with a machine gun and torpedoes, machine guns from aircraft, actually they're cannons from aircraft, machine gun boats, smaller boats, And the USS Amberjack was a submarine that was at periscope depth within torpedo range of the Liberty, and it was ordered to sink the Liberty if the Israeli fighter jets, the Mirage, couldn't sink it. And there was a very heroic young man who risked his life when they tried to put out a mayday call. A young enlisted sailor saw that the electrical power to the bridge was interrupted because a big electrical cable had been shot out of its socket. He ran out there while the aircraft were attacking with great effect, I might add, and he connected that electric cable back up. They got one SOS call. The SOS call was answered by two aircraft carriers, one being the USS America and the other one, I cannot remember at this point, but it was CVA 60, I believe. It doesn't matter. There were two aircraft carriers. They heard that the Liberty was under attack, and they started launching fighters to engage. And LBJ heard about that, and he told those fighters through the chain of command, which means the chain of command was also complicit. LBJ told the fighters to return to their carriers because he wanted that ship to go down. And you may not believe this, but you can check it immediately after this interview concludes. The only seagoing entity that responded to save the United States sailors on the Liberty, which they did, was a Russian vessel. And when the Russian vessel showed up on the horizon, suddenly the USS submarine named the Amberjack realized that this is not going to work. We cannot do what LBJ wants us to. And so the Liberty was spared, just like on the morning of 9/11, the United States of America was spared. But in both cases, we're not spared by a foreign, we're not spared from a foreign power. We have been spared on those two occasions against treasonous persons in our own government. The two most treasonous people of which I'm aware would be George H.W. Bush. Let's make it three. LBJ, George H.W. Bush, and my sister, Christine Marcy.
Wow. I don't think you're going to be getting any Christmas cards from your sister this year.
She doesn't believe in Christmas.
All right. Yeah. Wow. And I love this because Phil McConnell is our guest, and he just gave a whole bunch of information, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you heard what he just has given us. Joe, you're over here just...
And I was muted, Mr. McConnell, but when you said she doesn't believe in Christmas, you just had me cracking up over here. Yeah, you really covered a lot of ground. And, I mean, where do we go from here? We got about 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
To bring it back to the airplanes and the uninterrupted autopilot.
Or well, wait a second. Can we fly out there and visit with you and spend like a week with you? No.
You could, or I could come to Erie. One thing that drives the United States fake government, the bad guys, one thing that drives them crazy is they can't get me in front of an FAA doctor because I'm totally blessed by God in this, but unlike the other airline pilots who've been sent to shrinks, by the time I started blowing my whistle, I had the largest qualified retirement and that doesn't mean a thing to me. Money means nothing. It can be taken from you. And when it's taken from you, as it's been taken from me, it will almost always be the U.S. government taking it from the U.S. citizens or the U.K. government taking it from the U.K. citizens. So money means nothing, but put yourself in my position, gentlemen. If God asked you personally to expose evil, would you do it or would you not?
That's exactly what we're doing. Mr. McConnell, we're investigators by profession. I've been an investigator 34 years, Joe for a little over 10. And we have no business being in the radio broadcasting industry, yet here we are. So that answers, hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, and I anticipated that because I know what motivates you, and I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. In the remaining 8 minutes or so we have left, 7 minutes left, look, you've got the floor, my brother, and and I'm so thankful for you. We hope that you'll agree to come back and spend additional time with us. we reach, right now we've got, I can tell you right now, we've got 46 countries listening, and we've got, tens of thousands of people listening as well. So, and many more, soon via archive. So, you're reaching a lot of people. So take the time, wherever you want to go. It's yours. The floor is yours.
Okay. And then let's agree that maybe 30 seconds or a minute before we run out, you'll just interrupt me.
Sure.
So here I go. I'm going to touch some items I think we should talk about in the future. Aero Air 1285 was a flight that on the 12th of December of 1985 was bringing back 256 soldiers from an aborted nuclear mission where they were supposed to have taken out an Iraq nuclear plant with man-borne. In other words, they were carrying small tac nukes, and they were going to go to this special forces in the Army, by the way. They were going to go attack a nuclear plant. They didn't get it done. They did suffer some casualties. They had to get the nuke devices and the soldiers out of the Mideast real quick. They got them on a DC-8 that flew to Germany first, refueled, may have changed crews. The DC-8 then went to Gander. It was the Gander Airport. And then when it was going to take off from Gander, George H.W. Bush could not afford to have that aircraft come to the U.S. and have those Army people tell the U.S. citizens what they'd been doing over there. So he arranged for the CIA to murder those 256 Army Special Forces people, and it was very, 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 well, it's beyond criminal, it's evil what he did. There's a G.H.W. Bush, Aero Air 1285, I'll speed this up, Swiss Air 111, it went down in September 2nd of 98 off the top of my head. It should never have gone down. There was evidence that perhaps somebody had tampered with the in-flight entertainment system, which only distributed entertainment to the first class and business class passengers, not the coach people. A fire started in the cockpit. The captain, and I used to be a captain, so I can go ahead and vilify my peers, but this guy was a weak captain. He's told everything in his file says he was great. Well, when push came to shove, he wasn't great. The cockpit caught on fire, so he left the cockpit. I believe he died in first class. The co-pilot who was flying the aircraft had told the captain, I want to put this airplane on the ground. The captain says, no, we'll go off the end of the runway. The co-pilot was right. The captain was weak. And so about 229 people died because they had a weak captain. TWA 800. That had to go down in 1996 because it had some people traveling over to Europe that they could not, certain political entities named Clinton might have had less of a future if some of these international politicians had reached Europe. We talked about 9/11. The civil case that I filed that's the most significant because it's still capable of being refiled and I've offered it to Trump as a qui tam is civil case 1:08-1600 parentheses RMC. That stands for Rosemary M. Collier, the judge who dismissed it in a fraud upon the court. Did she know it was a fraud upon the court? No, she did not, but she does now. And she might invite me back. If not, I'm coming anyway. Air France 447 went down on June 1st of 2009. There's a lot of really unsavory things about that. I'll skip it for now. The two things that I've known for right behind 9/11 flying events would be Malaysia 370. The aircraft never went down. It was never missing for one nanosecond. It landed at Diego Garcia, a secret base in the South Indian Ocean operated by the UK and the US. It landed at 0651 hours on the morning of the 8th of March of 2014. And the people that landed it there, this is, and I've been saying this for 3.5 years, and I haven't been vetted yet, nor will I be. The U.S. saved that aircraft from a malevolent electronic hijacker. Unfortunately, the first electronic hijacker, which was a private corporation, deployed the ATI, which is the air tranquilizing injector, which can calm passengers, it can put them to sleep, or it can kill them. In this case, it killed them. So when the airplane landed at Diego Garcia, the 239 people were dead. That created a problem for the United States and the United Kingdom, because now they got the physical aircraft, the Boeing 777, and they got 239 mortalities. So they had to get rid of the aircraft, and they had to get rid of the bodies. And when I went to Kuala Lumpur to explain to their government and the airline how the aircraft arrived at Diego Garcia, I said, I've told you about the BUAP. I've told you about the air tranquilizing injector. If you do not tell the rest of the world via the media, since you will have the floor, not me, I'm a nobody, I'm a sheer aircraft, I said, you're going to lose another one, and you're going to lose it before 1900 hours on the 17th of July of 2014. Many of your listeners remember the aircraft that went down in Donetsk, Ukraine. It went down around 1729 on the 17th of July. Now, am I prescient, or do I have a crystal ball? No, but I have a God in heaven who put me on this mission to expose evil.
Phil McConnell, we're at the end. I mean, and thank you. Thank you for everything you have given us, the information. I'm so sorry that we have to end it now. But I'll tell you something. You've touched a lot of people, and
we're going to bring you back.
Yeah, and you, abledanger.org, and also you're on Twitter, right?
Yes, at FIELDMCC.
And okay. The YouTube channel is Able Danger.
All right.
ABEL Danger.
All right. Phil McConnell, thank you so much for your gracious gift of time. Give your wife a hug for me. I know how it is late at night. And thank you both, and please come back on, and may God bless you and keep you safe.
God has, and he will continue to do so. Thank you for your time as well.
All right. Folks, network break. Going to be back. Give us 3 minutes. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.